Okay, good morning, everyone. Can you hear okay in the back? Loud enough? Okay. So how does everyone feel this morning? No feeling. Good? Feeling good. I also feel pretty good. And but there was something interesting that happened this morning, just as I pulled into the driveway in the back. You know, CMC, we have a back building, which is currently the dormitory for the nuns. And so I drove their car back, so I had to park the car in the garage. So didn't expect anything to happen, just going to park the car. And as I opened the gate, which is giant, you know, big heavy iron gate, I was just able to get it open. I don't know how they get it open every day. It's very heavy. And got the gate open, and in the garage I see this giant white rabbit, like this big, huge. This is not like little bunny rabbits that you'd expect to see in a pet store or something. It's a giant white rabbit, bigger than a cat, as big as a small dog. And I was kind of surprised by that. I thought, this is not something I expect to see in the street in Elmhurst, Queens. And I thought, why is this rabbit here? Does it have something to do with me? Is it because I came here and I'm pulling in the garage now? Is he waiting for me? Do I owe him something? And I asked him, and he just looked at me with his big red eyes. He's one of those red-eyed rabbits. And he just looked at me, and then I asked him to leave politely. I didn't want to have some kind of confrontation. So I just asked him to leave and walked closer, and he left. It turns out he's been here for 2 weeks. Yeah, so he wasn't waiting for me, thankfully. I took a breath after I heard that. And he's been here for 2 weeks, and they couldn't catch him. It's very strange that this giant white rabbit. And you don't even see these kinds of things at DDRC. You know, the Dharma Drum Retreat Center upstate, we have rabbits. But we have little, tiny little brown rabbits. We don't have these giant monsters. So, he's waiting for someone, maybe. Now, why is he here? Why did he pick CMC? And is he out to, does someone here owe him something? Is he trying to get it back? I heard he ate a whole bunch of, veggies, yeah. Di guaye, which is like sweet potato leaves. So he's getting something back for sure. He picked the right place. Because these iron fences, they're easy to slip through. So it's perfect for him. He can't jump the chain link fence, but he could squeeze through the iron fence. So he found the right place, and he's getting back what you could say, maybe somebody here owes him something. And I should translate, sorry. So, you know, 今天早上, 我开车来的, 我是开CMC的车, CMC的车, 本来在DDRC, 开下来, 然后当我在, 这边的后面, 后面有另外一栋宿舍, 就是女中法师住的地方, 宿舍前面有一个大的, 一个大的墙, 一个铁墙, 开了以后，就看到车库里面有一个超大的兔子。这只兔子不是小小的那种，而是大的，大概这么大，这么大白色的兔子。然后一看到就想说，奇怪，这 Elmhurst 这个皇后区，市区怎么会有那么大一只兔子啊？ 在车库等着我，奇怪啊！想说 是什么奇妙的因缘呢？他是不是在等我呢？我是不是要还债？有什么关系啊？我觉得奇怪，那进去就请他走啊，我要开进去啊，我要停车。有可能，我不晓得什么原因呢、啊。他就从车库走出去的时候，我就把车子停进去啊，想说奇怪，是不是等着我，还是不是等着其他的东出禅寺的法师呢？还是住在这边的人是不是要还债呢？是什么原因？我不清楚啊。这位菩萨说，是不是把他带到象冈去啊？不过在那边大概活不下去啊，一两天就被什么老鹰啊抓走啊，不行啊。所以他在这边才好啊，为后面有菜，有地瓜叶，有好吃的，而且呢那个铁墙啊不是那种很细的，所以他可以比较顺利的把身体这个穿过去啊，塞进去啊，所以很方便对他来说，来这边吃一吃，走一走，然后冷的时候到车库里面去保暖，说不定在车子的下面保暖，应该是很好。那不晓得什么原因什么关系啊，他选择这个地方，但是呢他已经开始得到他应该要得到的东西啊，他的菜，他的家。就是一个很奇特的因缘，奇特的一个事情跟大家分享。And why did I tell this story? Well, because it's interesting, doesn't often happen. And second, that it has something to do with the topic of today's talk. If you remember, the topic of the lecture is Bodhidharma's 2 entries and 4 practices. The last time I shared about this was, I think, half a year ago. Was anybody here for the last talk? Last Bodhidharma? I think Bill? Probably half a year, I think, right? I forgot how long. And at that time, we only finished two of the 4 practices and then discussed the first entry through principle. And I'll just briefly summarize what we went over last time, because it's been so long and I think there are people here for the first time, so you'd like, you know, it'd be good to get an idea of what we've discussed last time. And this interesting rabbit, although he didn't harm me, you could say he didn't harm me necessarily, or he didn't harm any of the nuns yet. Hopefully when they try to catch him, he won't bite. You have to consider that. They can be quite dangerous if they're cornered. But he didn't harm us directly. But you can say he took something from us, took the vegetables. We were supposed to eat those vegetables. That could have been lunch. And sweet potato leaves are really delicious. How many people have had these things? Sweet potato leaves, they're very tasty. Supposedly when Sifu was on his solitary retreat, all he ate for many, many years were sweet potato leaves. And he grew them in the backyard. They're delicious, they're nutritious, and they're easy to cook. So by this rabbit eating these things, you could say he's taking something from us. And our first reaction may be, what's this rabbit doing? Where did this rabbit come from? I mean, we may have a yeah, it came from next door. So at first we hated the rabbit because he was eating our vegetables. But then we think, oh, he's just an animal. That's what he does. He eats. It's the neighbors. Ah, those neighbors. So then we hate the neighbors. And we start to think, yeah, these neighbors, they let their rabbits run wild. Crazy people. We should go over there and knock on their door and, hey, do you know your rabbits are running all over our yard? And, you know, complain. Right, that may be our first reaction. But it's interesting. Can we let him take what he's already taken? He's already taken the leaves. We can't get them out of him. Of course, we could prevent from him eating the leaves next time, but what can we do about the loss that we've already incurred from the rabbit? You know, does reacting with anger help? Does hating the rabbit help? Or does, you know, feeling that our neighbors are wrong and go, you know, yell at them or give them a good reaming and then feel better? And then, yeah, that's the way to take care of it. You know, is that reaction of anger useful? So, I'll translate. So, 这个兔子的一个事情 故事，它有一点点跟今天的开始有关系，是跟菩提达摩的二入四行有关系。因为上次讲这个题目是可能已经过了半年，那有一些人上次是不在，没有听到，所以稍微复习一下上次的一些内容。 那像今天的故事，小兔子，它并没有伤害我，直接的伤害到我的身体，对不对？不是说一下车它就打我一拳，或者是咬我一口，没有啊，它没有伤害到我的身体，也没有伤害到其他法师、东初的法师，没有啊。但是呢，可以说是我们有一些损失，因为它来。 他吃我们的菜，我们现在没有地瓜叶，地瓜叶是好吃又营养，又大家喜欢，也听说师父在闭关的时候，他好多年只是吃地瓜叶，也能够活得很健康，所以呢，我们的地瓜叶不见了，所以有一些损失，是不愉快的事情。 那我们第一个反应可能是恨这个兔子，这只兔子啊，因为它吃我们的菜，它不懂礼貌啊，或它不懂这是我们的东西啊，所以一开始可能是恨这只兔子啊，为什么吃我们的菜，或者是呢，我们可能发现说是隔壁是邻居养的一只兔子啊。 所以我们想说啊，这只兔子啊，反正它愚痴嘛，它不懂这些人的一些什么规矩啊、规定啊，它就是吃啊，肚子饿就吃，去车库里面保暖，它就是这样子啊，是我们的邻居才做坏事啊，我们邻居这个让他们的动物啊、兔子啊，随便跑啊，随便去隔壁。 的地方吃菜啊，邻居有问题啊，好，我们过去给他骂一顿，骂过以后大概会舒服吧，应该是挨骂才对，我们过去一下。所以第一个反应可能是生气或者是恨兔子啊，恨我们邻居啊，但是呢，这种反应是应该的吗？是需要的吗？ 我们的菜已经被吃掉了，有没有办法说骂邻居以后，他能够把地瓜叶，能够把他请那只兔子啊，把它吐出来，又给他煮，也没有办法。So, since the rabbit has already eaten the vegetables, the situation has already incurred a loss. We have to accept that, right? We could be angry, we could use that method, but we may find out that that causes more trouble. And in that moment of being angry, we ourselves are incurring a greater loss. 所以呢，用怨恨心或者是那种生气的反应去处理这件事是没有用的。事情已经发生了，已经有一个损失。如果我们又去发脾气， 就变成多了一个损失嘛，自己的身体、自己的心灵会多受到一些伤害。So accepting the situation, accepting that the loss has been incurred, and we don't know why. And again, there's some relation between us and this rabbit, It's amazing. Who knows why he picked us? But according to Buddha Dharma, we and all sentient beings have such intricate relationships and inconceivable relationships. And in the past, because of the way we've handled these relationships, we have the situation we have today. We may be incurring a loss. We may find that our relationships today are very difficult. We don't know why people dislike us. We don't know why rabbits come to our backyard and eat our vegetables, or all the animals come. But there is some kind of relationship and some reason why things happen this way. We don't know exactly what that reason is. We may never know why. But Buddha Dharma says that what we have today is definitely brought about by a previous reason. And this is called karma. And this accepting of the situation is called, well, just accepting this karmic retribution, or accepting the result of the relationships we've cultivated. So in the Zong 如果是用佛法来看待它，我们会发现，这只兔子跟我们有什么关系呢？不知道。但是呢，一定有一个关系。佛法说，我们自己跟所有的众生有一个不可思议的关系。因为过去的一些人际关系啊，或者是 人跟动物之间，人跟任何的众生之间的关系啊，过去的关系一定会影响到现在的关系。比如说，现在我们人际关系可能会发现不是那么的好，虽然现在在努力啊改善人际关系，改善我们对人说话的方式啊，或者是处理事情的方式啊，但是好像 多半大家的反应啊，不是那么的良好。那原因一定有一个原因，可能没有办法确定是什么一个什么原因呢？但是我们过去的行为、过去的关系，一定会影响到现在跟众生的关系啊。那这种关系，在佛法里面是讲因果。 能够接受当下的因果，接受像这个兔子之间的一个事情啊，就叫做在菩提达摩的这段开示里面叫做报冤行，就是能够接受我们的果报，那可能是不良好的，是不愉快的，但是呢，能够。接受它，不用那种负面的反应，而是直接接受它，是因为过去的关系，就是能够有一个比较健康的心态。So, and what's the advantage of accepting something that's already happened, that we can't change? And that's because of these very many complicated, intricate relationships. We can say that the result is a very healthy attitude. A healthy attitude towards our very daily life. And that everything that happens has a reason. We may not be able to find it, but certainly there's a reason, and it's due to our relationships with others. So we first accept it. And with that, we have a healthy state of mind and a very calm and even state of mind. 所以能够接受当下的因果 就能够心平气和的去处理它。So that was the first thing we mentioned, the last talk of the first of the four practices. The second we talked about, does anybody remember? Anybody have a good memory? What was the second one? The second of the four practices. First one is 报冤行, or accepting karmic retribution. The second, remember? Here's some words with an S. 随呀, 随缘行, which means to accord with conditions. 随缘行. So we had mentioned that according with conditions, in terms of Bodhidharma's explanation here, again refers to a healthy attitude towards our life situation. So with conditions here, he refers to them as being whatever occurs, comes about, yes, because of our previous behavior, our previous relations with others, and all of these many different conditions that need to come together. And when they come together, we may have a good result. We may have a good, wholesome, or pleasant situation arise. And what do we do in those situations? Well, we may usually become quite excited when something good happens, right? Instead of the rabbit eating all your vegetables, next time, what? The rabbit comes bringing bags of vegetables. Maybe your neighbor realizes that its rabbit has been causing so much trouble, so he sends the rabbit over with a bushel of veggies tied to his back, and the rabbit comes in bringing gifts this time. And they think, oh, great. He brought sweet potato leaves. He brought what else? What's your favorite vegetable? Anybody have a favorite vegetable? Lettuce. Wow, delicious. Apples. He brings the whole lot. And a card which says, I'm sorry. And so this may be a quite exciting situation. And wow, this must be some special rabbit. He can carry things and bring messages. It's an amazing rabbit. Might be very exciting. But, again, Bodhidharma reminds us that we shouldn't be too excited when good things happen either. Why? Well, when conditions change, that result that we have will also change, will also be gone. One thing is that, well, it's very exciting at first, but once you eat the vegetables, then that's it. We're left with needing more vegetables. Or, maybe after the rabbit brings the vegetables, it wasn't his idea in the first place, so he brings the vegetables, everyone's very happy, and he sneaks away back into the garden and goes and eats something else. Some of the lavender, maybe something else. The conditions change. The rabbit's attitude changes. And maybe again we suffer another loss. So when something good happens, Bodhidharma is reminding us that, well, just look at it with an ordinary mind. It's just something which is happening because of, again, our own karma, our own behavior and relationship to others, and all of these very amazing conditions that happen to come together. We may not be able to figure it out, but this is the way it happens, and it will change. So we don't want to get too excited. If we do, again, we'll suffer a loss, and in our minds, we'll have, again, a reaction of loss.
那菩提达摩在随缘行这段这种说明也是说明出因果跟因缘的关系，那因果也是我们过去的行为，跟过去的关系跟众生的关系所造的现在的一个结果，那这种结果能够发生也需要一些因缘， 也每次的因缘都是特殊的因缘。那比如说有一个好的状况发生，好的因缘出现，我们怎么反应呢？那我们通常可能是很高兴啊，很兴奋，有一个好的因缘出现，哇，不得了，这么好的东西就会很高兴。那比如说这只兔子啊，本来是吃我们的菜，那现在呢？ 他是带菜来的，他身上绑了几个袋子的好吃的，可能是邻居发现这小只兔子去很多地方吃菜，那邻居觉得哇惭愧啊，还不敢面对面讲啊，所以就把兔子啊身上绑一些菜啊，还有呢一个卡，一个什么
，How do you say that? Apology? Or a 道歉的一个卡，道歉卡，把它绑在兔子的 脖子上面，那哇，我们看到的时候觉得很奇妙啊，很特殊。上次是吃我们的菜，现在是带菜来的，哇，很特别、啊。这只兔子训练的那么好啊，它也能够带东西啊，或者是把一些讯息啊转达给别人呢、啊，哇，很特别啊，很高兴啊，又很兴奋啊，应该拍下来把它放在 YouTube 上面才对啊。我们第一个反应可能是很高兴很兴奋，但是呢，菩提达摩师提醒我们，有好的因缘好的事情出现的时候要小心，不要太高兴，因为这些因缘也会变。那说不定兔子先是带菜来的，但是呢，不是他的意思啊，是邻居啊告诉他训练他，他兔子还不是那么高兴，所以送菜之后还是偷偷的去菜园吃一些东西继续吃，那又我们的因缘改变，又有一些损失。那如果是本来很高兴，突然因缘变了，因缘没有，好的事情不见了，我们的心情又可能会掉下来，从另外一个极端高兴兴奋，发现又有变化，又是损失，我们的整个的心情心理就会受到另外一种伤害。那菩提达摩就是提醒我们，我们看所有的事情，不管是坏的或者是好的，用怎么样的心态。禅宗讲平常心，事情的发生是不可思议的，但是当然它跟我们过去的行为有关系啊，那它发生之后就用平常心去接受它，就是这个样子的一回事，不需要那么高兴，也不需要那么的生气，或是那种低落的心态，不需要用平常心。那这个叫做随缘行。So that's the two things we talked about last time, the two kinds of practices, and both of them we could look at as a healthy attitude towards our everyday life situations. Whatever happens, regardless if it's unfavorable or favorable, if it's a good situation or bad situation, it's happening because we've earned it, so to speak. It definitely has something to do with what we've done and all the various conditions that came together. And in any case, it will change. This is not permanent. So, a good situation is good, and we make the best of it, but it will change. Bad situation may be feel like a loss at first, but we can also adapt to it. Just face it, and then deal with it. Deal with it without all this excessive anger and vexation.And this way we have a healthy attitude in dealing with the situation. So with our friend the rabbit, if he ate our vegetables, at first it was a loss. But actually, maybe it's showing us that if we're going to grow vegetables in a garden here, you know, with this iron fence with big holes in it, we better put up some other kind of fencing. You know, this, they have gardening wire, kind of chicken wire.To keep out rabbits and keep out other small creatures that like to eat vegetables. So the rabbit could be helping us. He's giving us a suggestion, but he's just using his own way. 所以呢，这两种修行的方法，一个是报缘行，一个是随缘行，这两种是指一种健康的心态，针对我们生活中的种种的事情，好的也好，坏的也好，保持一个健康的心态。好的事情发生，坏的事情发生，一定跟我们有关系，还有呢，有种种的因缘才会有，我们只能够用平常的心去面对它，接受它，还要去处理它。那这样子就可以减少很多的不必要的一些心理的波动，心理的烦恼。那像这种兔子的状况， 如果是说吃我们的菜本来看起来是一种坏的事情，一种损失，因为菜现在没有了，现在，但是呢，我们可以把它看成一个很好的提醒，这只兔子啊，是帮助我们知道，如果说要在菜园，要在花园种菜，要小心去保护它，包围它，做一个什么墙，用一个什么，也是一种铁丝的，我们讲铁丝网啊，用铁丝网去保护我们的菜园。所以说，这只兔子是提醒我们呢，给我们一个很好的建议啊，但是它就是用它自己的方式啊来表达。所以呢，这个用健康的心态去看所有的事情，就是菩提达摩用抱怨行跟随缘行来解释。So, within these two practices, we can already see the basic principles of Buddha Dharma. And we can see that it's following a progression from the most basic, and gradually he's explaining in a sequence. So now I'd like to talk about the next two methods, the next two practices. Now, 菩提达摩的这两种抱怨行跟随缘行，它里面的解释里面是指出佛法的基本观念，因果跟因缘。还有呢，他也提到，如果看本文的话呢，他也提到无常，还有呢无我。那因缘就是另外一种无我的解释，那无常也是一种因果的一个解释啊，在时间上因果的变化可以用无常来说明。所以佛法几乎所有的基本观念都是在这前面修行法的里面。那现在呢，我想继续讲第三个第四个方法。那不知道看过菩提达摩就是整个的开示，整个的文章是讲菩提达摩大师略辩大圣入道四行观。那不知道看过这个文章的人有多少？有没有看过？没有哈。I just wonder how many people have read this before, either in Chinese or English, Bodhidharma's two entries and four practices. I believe there's a translation by Red Pine. And also within, I believe it's in the spirit of Chan, right? Shifu explains this in this free booklet called In the Spirit of Chan. So for those of you interested later on, you can take a look at that. But since we don't have time to read through all and explain all of the text, I'll just again go with a very general explanation of these practices. So first, the third practice is called non-seeking. The Chinese is 无所求行。第三个修行法叫做无所求行。And upon first hearing this, it sounds quite interesting. It sounds like not seeking. Okay, so we don't seek to do anything. Does it mean we shouldn't have any goals? And does it mean we shouldn't have any hopes or aspirations? It's quite interesting, isn't it? But if we look into what Bodhidharma is referring to,He's referring to, again, an attitude which can help us realize enlightenment. He's not necessarily referring to an attitude which is something we use in dealing with our daily affairs. He's referring specifically to an attitude which can liberate us from this constant mindset of searching for something and trying to find happiness in this something that we're searching for. 那无所求行一听到这种名词的时候会不会觉得这个有一点点消极无所求行好像这样子的一种心态是说你没有什么希望或者是没有什么愿望对未来没有什么希望或者是你的生活生命没有目标那是无所求行吗 所以呢,就没有目标嘛, 是不是这样子的意思? 那如果我们看, 他的解释里面, 我们会发现, 布迪达摩不是说不能有目标, 不能有希望, 但是他这一段的目的, 是让我们有一个正确的修行的心态, 往开悟的目标的一个心态, 他不是, 不是指生活上的什么生活的目标啊，要做什么，要变成什么？它是指如何解脱我们这种把我们绑住的一种贪着心，念念都是贪着我们的希望得到的一个目标，快乐的那种追求快乐的目标。 一直贪着在那边的心态. So, what he's actually saying is, for most of us, we're constantly in this state of mind of craving, and we never feel that we're satisfied. And if we look at our state of mind now, even at this very moment, are we waiting for something else to happen, and expecting that when that happens, we'll be happy? I don't know how you feel sitting on those chairs, if it's comfortable or not, but maybe you're thinking, wow, once I sit in these chairs, it's cold, it's hard, it's uncomfortable, I'm tired. Well, although I came for a Dharma talk and I'm interested in listening, I really can't wait for lunchtime. Once lunchtime comes, I know I'll be happy. I get to move, I get to stand up, I get to stretch my legs, and I get to eat. So when that happens, I'll be happy. Maybe we have this thought lurking, or maybe we're very clearly waiting for that to happen. Or maybe we have something else on our mind, and we really hope that in the future we can attain this goal, and then we'll be happy. So we can say that for most of us, our mind is always seeking, always craving for something, and when we get that something, we hope that we'll be fulfilled. So Bodhidharma's intention is to help us to drop that seeking, drop that incessant craving. 那菩提达摩的意思不是说不能有目标，也不能有任何的希望，它是指出我们平常的心态都是在一个一种追求的状况里面。 好像每个念头，每个当下，我们都是在等待着，未来的一个事情。那比如说现在，我不晓得大家坐那种椅子坐得舒服吗？因为椅子是铁的，又冷又硬，又是很累啊，一坐下去啊，就觉得好累啊，很爱困，这个很困啊。 所以呢，可能是等待着开示结束。虽然是希望听到佛法的开示啊，但是呢，一坐下去啊，坐一段时间，开始等待，啊，什么时候讲完呢？什么时候吃饭呢？我吃饭的时候终于可以解脱这个椅子，终于可以解脱这种昏沉的状况。吃饭的时候又可以吃到很新鲜的菜，又是 还没有被吃掉的那些菜园的菜，哇，多么的好！那可能是， 一直有这种往未来去追求的一种念头。可能不是这个这个念头，可能是我们生活上有一些问题，或者是有一些希望。那每天都是老是在牵挂那种念头，说我得到的时候我终于可以快乐。所以呢，我们发现我们大部分的人都是在一个追求的心态里面打转。那菩提达摩的用意是希望我们把它放下，把它抛开，去解脱这种追求的心态。 So we can look at this non-seeking attitude as the attitude of being able to let go. And in his text, he used the phrase, well, since we know everything as unreliable, as impermanent, causes and conditions are always changing, and we can never really gain something in that sense. So, we need to, here it says, just to be able to let go of everything and to put a stop to our seeking thoughts and don't seek. Very simple. So, this attitude is one of letting go, and in terms of enlightenment, in terms of the goal of practice, if a person is always thinking about enlightenment, always waiting for enlightenment to happen, hoping that, well, maybe if I just read something, once I read something special, it will help me get enlightened. So as we're reading and studying, let's keep reading, keep reading. Let's see which one's going to get me enlightened. I heard many masters got enlightened by reading sutras, so let me keep reading, keep reading. I feel something, I feel something. Oh, no, that's not it. Or we're sitting in meditation. We also may have a good sitting. We feel some changes in our body and mind. We may have very few troublesome thoughts. And we think, wow, finally, I've never felt this before. I must be close to enlightenment. This is it. And again, this kind of thought, this kind of waiting for something to happen, waiting for enlightenment to happen, just disturbs our mind and makes us even farther away from it. So Bodhidharma's main intention is to help us to let go of attachments to any things, and even the thought of seeking enlightenment. If we can drop even that thought, it would be in front of us. It would be accessible to us immediately. 所以呢，菩提达摩讲无所求行，也是提醒我们，因为所有的现象啊，所有的不管是物质的、身体的，所有的现象都是在变，那都是因为种种的因缘才会有。那虽然是有，但是呢，它本身也是无常，也是无我。所以呢，有这种观念，有这种态度，就可以对这些种种的现象能够放下它。那放下它也要放下这些，也要放下开悟的追求，对开悟的希望。因为我们有时候可能是听说有很多大德他是看经而开悟，有没有听说过？很多的大修行人看经而开悟，或者是听到一句话那就突然悟道。那我们可能是在家里看书看经，等着我多看，继续看，看看哪句话就会让我开悟啊，解决所有的问题啊，还继续有没有还没有，继续看好像有一点点的感觉，念到菩萨号的时候有感觉，好像没有，好，继续看，一直等待某一句话或是某一个经典就会给我们开悟的讯息。或者是打坐的时候，一边打坐一边有一些比较特殊的身心反应，比如说身体很放松，然后有一些比较不一样的感觉出现，会觉得哇，终于有一些感觉啊，我从来没有感觉，哇，太好了，有感觉，是不是快要开悟呢？ 当有这种念头出现的时候呢，一定是把我们整个的境界破坏掉，让我们这个离开物更远了，让我们的心更有波动。所以针对开悟这件事情，对一个修行人来讲，菩提达摩也是提醒我们不能追求开悟啊，不能追求任何的现象给我们快乐，永远快乐，也不能追求开悟这件事情。但能够放下所有一切的追求，这个连开悟的追求能够放下的话呢，那开悟就会在我们的面前，开悟这种体验就会出现。所以在里面他提醒我们说，要舍去一切，只想无求，就是止，停止这种追求的想法，而能够无所求。 So this is the teaching of non-seeking. And again, for the most part, it's in reference to the attitude of practice going towards the direction of enlightenment. But it's still, with all of these practices, we've talked about three of them, it still seems like there's maybe something pessimistic about it. Or we could say, what's the word? Inactive. Or that a person may become lazy, or 消极, pessimistic. I mean, the first two are just an attitude towards accepting things. Non-seeking, it's not really telling us something that we can do actively. So, is there something missing? If we only had these three practices, no seeking, or just accepting things as they are, what would we do? Does anybody ever encounter Buddhist practitioners with that kind of attitude? It's impermanent. You know, selfless, it's impermanent, it's all causes and conditions. So it's not going to make you happy. Might as well just sit here, meditate. And if you're sitting and meditating on your friend's couch or your parents' couch and you're just hanging around without doing anything about finding work for yourself, it's all impermanent. I'm going to die anyway. I'll probably die in, well, a few years, so I'll just sit here, meditate, and hang out. It's possible that this person may become pessimistic and feel that nothing is worth living for. Everything is impermanent. Everything is selfless. So, Bodhidharma mentions the fourth practice, which prevents a person from slipping into this kind of pessimistic and even lazy attitude. And the fourth practice is called corresponding with the Dharma. And so, 前面三个修行法都好像是比较被动的吧，会不会？第一个就是抱怨型，就是接受坏的事情，不要生气。第二个是随缘型，当我们接受好的因缘的时候，也不要太高兴，要保持平常心，比较被动的吧，没有告诉你要怎么做，就是告诉你怎么接受，怎么心平气和的接受它，保持安定的心。好，这个很好。那第三个呢，是无所求行，因为所有一切的现象，一切的事情是无常因缘，所以不要老是追求它，要能够放下它。能够放下它很好啊，你的心会很安定，也说不定你能够放下到连开悟的追求放下，你就开悟啊。但是呢，一个开悟的人，或者是一个很用功修行的人，用这三个方法，会不会变成消极的？会不会，如果是你的家人呢，他保持这种心态，无所求啊，我在用功修行啊，就待在家里，不做事，就坐在蒲团上，或者是沙发上，就说反正是无常嘛，无我啊，因缘啊，我打坐吧，打坐就好啊。 反正过几年我就死了，没问题啊，我继续打坐，继续用功，往开悟的方向。那如果是你的话，可能会觉得这个人很麻烦呢、啊，坐在家里没有做什么，就是跟兔子一样吃我们的菜，也没有做什么，没有贡献，没有用。那如果我们真的在用功修行，那按照这前面三个方法，没有用到第四个，可能也会变成这种比较消极的心态，没有想做什么，只想放下一切，或者是比较坏的问题，坏的状况就是想要逃避啊。所以菩提达摩才提出第四个方法，那就叫做称法行。称就是名称的称，但是在这种context 里面是念称，那它的意思是跟要跟法相应，所以称法行要跟佛法，要跟法相应。So, what does this correspondence with the Dharma refer to? Well, he's referring to how we can live in accord with the Dharma, which is with reality, but also this Dharma includes, as it's saying here, this is the Mahayana ideal, or the Mahayana aspiration. For those of you who don't know, Mahayana just refers to the teachings of the Buddha, which we refer to as the great vehicle, or the great practices which have an aspiration for helping everyone, or helping all sentient beings. A practitioner of the Mahayana, they have a goal, or they have a great vow. And this great vow is to practice for the sake of all beings, for the sake of all people, but they find that not only people benefit from their practice, all sentient beings or all living beings benefit from the practice. And this great aspiration in the Mahayana is what we refer to as the Bodhisattva path. 那法呢？这个地方的法是指什么？因为菩提达摩是讲大圣佛法，那大圣的佛法所谓大圣是指佛陀的很伟大的一些教育啊，教理，这种伟大的修行的方向就是我们讲菩提心。那菩提心就是一个修行大圣佛法的人，他的修行的目标，修行的方向是希望所有的众生因为他修行而得利益。那所有的众生里面是包括，当然是包括人，也是包括动物，也是包括我们自己啊，自己也是众生。所以一个修行大圣佛法的人是希望所有一切的众生因为我们修行，他们就能够得到利益。那这个就叫做菩提道。And in this section of talking about the Bodhisattva ideal, Bodhidharma quotes a couple of lines from two sutras. The two sutras are the Vimalakirti Sutra as well as the Diamond Sutra. And the spirit of both of these sutras, if anybody has read these, has anyone read these? Vimalakirti? And then Diamond Sutra. Diamond Sutra is very popular. Yeah. The spirit of these sutras is a very engaged spirit, meaning that they're encouraging us to engage in practices which are very positive, practices which benefit ourselves and benefit others, benefit society. And these six practices we refer to as the six paramitas, The six paramitas are these practices which lead to liberation, freedom of mind. And these practices are directed towards sentient beings, others, especially the first one. Do you know the first one? What's the first of the six paramitas as it's listed? Say it again, louder. Yeah, generosity or giving. Mm-hmm. So this paramita of giving, who do we give to? We give to others, give to sentient beings. So this practice of paramitas includes an engagement with society, an engagement with others. But there's something unique about it. And if you've read the Diamond Sutra, its basic spirit or message is that in the process of giving, we shouldn't feel that we've done anything special at all. We shouldn't feel that we've given anything. And we shouldn't feel that it's I am giving, I am being generous. We also shouldn't feel that all of you people or all of sentient beings are benefiting because of me. And this is may sound strange at first, so then how would you give? Of course, we know that, well, I have something, someone needs something, so we give it. We're generous with what we have. But something unique is that within our minds, our attitude, we shouldn't hold any of this in our mind. And there's a very good story to illustrate this, and I'll mention it in just a second.
那这种菩提道，一个大乘佛法修行的人，是修行菩提道或者是菩萨道。那这种菩萨道的精神，菩提达摩是用两个经典去解释它。 那这两个经典，一个是《维摩经》，另外一个是《金刚经》，有没有看过《维摩经》？看过的人有吗？《维摩经》有一些，那《金刚经》呢？有没有？<咳>那这两部经的有一个重点，那它的重点是我们一边要修行一些很对社会啊，对众生。 很积极的去做一些事情，很积极的去服务众生，很积极的去像我们六种修行法里面提到，第一个六波罗蜜，<咳>波罗蜜就是让我们能够解脱的一些六种修行的方式。那第一个是什么？在六波罗蜜里面，第一个是布施。 那布施的意思是，怎么用比较白话中文呢？舍施吗？舍施可以听懂吗？或者是呢？给予啊，嗯哼，舍施啊，或者是给予一些什么东西给谁呢？给众生，给需要的人，或是需要的众生。 <咳>那这种态度上就是很积极啊，在社会上积极的去服务，积极去给予人家需要的东西。那虽然是这样子，但是心态上，这两部经的重点是在心态上不能认为是我给你什么东西。 也不能强调说我是帮助众生啊，众生需要我，或者是给的东西，也不要去强调它。那为什么呢？我会等一下会用一个跟菩提达摩有关系的故事去解释它。So I wonder if anyone has heard the story between Bodhidharma and the king, Emperor Wudi. How many have heard the story? probably most of you, you've heard it many times. Very popular story, and might as well hear it again, huh? I think it helps to hear it again and again, because again and again we need it. So, generally, the story goes that at the time when Bodhidharma traveled to China, he was looking to share the Dharma. And, of course, he had a unique approach to it. He saw that within China at that time, there were certain trends that were leading people in the direction of, well, they're practicing Bodhidharma, but at the same time, they seem to be missing the essential point. People were studying sutras. They were very involved in education. The king at that time was also well-learned in Buddhism. He also practiced meditation. He also practiced giving. The king at that time supposedly was a great supporter of Buddhism. And as the story goes, at that time when Bodhidharma arrived, the king had already been building monasteries. Had been, what else? Building monasteries, printing sutras or scriptures. What else? Building bridges, yeah. Donating money and land to the monasteries. What else? Just supporting Buddhism as a whole and doing these very virtuous works of charity. So when Bodhidharma went to meet the king, I'm sure they had some just cordial interaction in the beginning. So, nice to meet you. You've come from so far, etc., etc., etc. How was the trip? I'm sure you're tired. That they didn't put that in the story. But eventually, the king starts to say what he's been doing. Bodhidharma may have asked, so what's been going on here in this country with the state of Buddhism? Well, the king starts explaining, well, you know, for myself, I've been building temples, printing sutras, donating money, helping monasteries, promote the Dharma in whatever way I can. I've been doing quite a lot, let me tell you. And this and this and this and this. So he started to tell Bodhidharma what he's been doing. And then he asked, so great master, haven't I created great merit? Is there great merit in this? This is the teaching of the Buddha. What merit have I actually achieved? What merit have I gained? What was Bodhidharma's answer? The famous answer, yeah, no merit. And imagine the face of the king at that time. After doing all this work, which I'm sure wasn't easy, and I'm sure he had to be very engaged and work hard. I'm sure he worked hard. He didn't just point his finger. He had to at least think about these things. After all this hard work, here comes this great master of Buddhism and tells him he hasn't done anything at all. I'm sure the king's mouth dropped. Because he was a Buddhist, though, he didn't request Bodhidharma's head. He didn't have him executed, which you may think the king might do in a situation like that, but he didn't. And what did his answer mean? No merit. And we talk about that. So in this Putidamo跟当时的中国的皇帝，他叫梁武帝，对不对？在那时候，菩提达摩刚刚到了中国，那中国佛教有一些状况，当然是有一些好状况。但是呢，菩提达摩发现，在修学佛法的人，他们的方向有一点点的有一些偏差，或者是他们没有发现佛法的重点在哪里。所以他发现有的人是读书很努力，很用功在学经论，那有一些人也是很努力在奉献，努力在布施。那像梁武帝他自己也是，一方面他在努力学佛法，很有学问，另一方面也是在打坐，在用功用方法。他也在布施，也在用他所有的东西去布施给佛教界，
去比如说造寺院啊，建寺院啊，或者是呢印，或者是那时候还好像还没有印，还没有能够印经，但是那时候是大概是抄嘛，还是请人家去写经啊，去 copy， 还有呢很多的一些很好的布施他都在做。那菩提达摩在跟他见面的时候，当然他们应该是前面有一些比较客气的话，你从哪里来的，走了那么远啊，辛苦啊，然后菩提达摩大概也是觉得说啊，你也辛苦啊，你要管那么大的国家啊，很辛苦啊，所以最近这个国家里面的佛教界怎么样呢？那梁武帝就开始说明啊，那我呢，我最近做的一些事情啊，我是造寺院啊，这个印经啊，做什么呢，做很多布施啊，为了这个佛教界让它发展啊。他说明他种种的一些布施之后就问，那像这种啊，这种布施啊，到底有什么功德呢？那菩提达摩怎么回答呢？他就说没有功德。那你可以想象那个皇帝啊听到这个讯息的时候他的表情会怎么样呢？这个法师啊，他也是佛法里面的一个和尚啊，他应该懂得布施嘛，那我布施那么多啊，他说没有啊，他的嘴巴可能就是张开啊。那因为他是一个佛教徒嘛，所以他没有要菩提达摩的头，没有要砍头，但是呢应该不是很高兴，而且呢可能是不懂啊。因为听不懂的时候呢，菩提达摩听说就离开了吧。最后这个皇帝啊搞不清楚啊，可能要离开一下，这个去别的地方去分享佛法。 So at the end of the story So Bodhidharma eventually said, you have no merit. You've accumulated no merit. There's no merit with what you've done. And after hearing that, the king was surely shocked. And Bodhidharma recognized that, well, the king, after hearing that and after a subsequent explanation, still couldn't understand. So Bodhidharma chose to leave and, as the story goes, went somewhere else into solitary retreat for a while. But why did he answer there was no merit? You know, is that in line with Buddhist teaching? Now, the first two practices, all talking about karma, cause and effect, causes and conditions. If you do unwholesome things, you get unwholesome results. If you do wholesome things, there must be merit. You must get some kind of benefit, some kind of wholesome result. But this aspect here, that Bodhidharma is trying to point out, is that, well, yes, of course there is merit, but if in your mind you're holding on to that and you're actually quite arrogant about that, quite full of yourself with all of the merit that you've been doing, then actually you may have some merit, but for the most part you don't. You don't have the merit of a genuine attitude of giving. What's a genuine attitude of giving? It's giving without always remembering what you gave. Doing something for sentient beings, helping sentient beings, without getting caught in the idea that we're doing something special. You know, look at me, I'm helping all you sentient beings. Or look at me, I'm helping all of you people. Or look at me, I'm giving a Dharma talk. If a person thinks that way, then actually that's arrogance. That's a vexation. So they don't get the benefit of genuine giving or selfless giving. Selfless giving, meaning that we give. We have resources. We do our best to help others. But we don't need to keep it in our mind. We just do it because sentient beings need it. And with that, we have an engaged lifestyle.
an engaged and wholesome and virtuous lifestyle. But at the same time, we don't have the burden of this self-centered arrogance or self-centered vexation. So we can do things, we're engaged, but we're able to let them go. We don't allow them to fill our minds. So this is the essence of the Diamond Sutra and the Vimalakirti Sutra, which are emphasizing wisdom, and that all the practices of a bodhisattva, all the paramitas, are also necessary to be done together with wisdom. And so at the end of this section, Bodhidharma says, well, essentially, if that's the case, the practice of the six paramitas, their main purpose is to, as he says, to get rid of delusion. Of course, it's for helping sentient beings, it's for helping us practice, but in the light of wisdom, there are no sentient beings. There is no self. So the practice essentially is ridding delusion. Quite interesting. So, 这个故事啊，为什么他说没有功德？ 因为在基本的佛法观念里面，一定是有功德吧？像前面的开示的说明，他讲到因果，对不对？ 有因有果，有一个善的因就会有善的果，有恶的因就会恶的果，你要接受它。但是呢，这个因果的关系啊，的确是有的嘛。还有因缘吗？要有这种因果的出现，也必须有很多的不同的因缘的呈现。所以呢，基本的佛法是讲有功德啊，怎么会没有功德吗？ 那菩提达摩的用意，他没有说有一点点的功德啊，他没有说，但是呢，有一点点的功德，但是呢，皇帝这种心态，这种慢心，这种慢就是一种烦恼嘛，我慢，这种我慢心是让你的功德损失更多。 虽然有一点点，但是呢，你的大部分的功德是损失掉。因为真正的布施是一种无我的心态。那无我的心态呢，不是说无我我就没有我啊，我就不做啊，不布施啊。他的意思是我们还是照样布施，还是知道我们自己有一些能力，有一些可以去给予。 需要的人，但是呢，我们做的时候，还有做过以后，就要放下它，不要一直把这种行为啊、功德的行为啊摆在心里上。如果一直摆在心里上呢，那就变成一个烦恼，那你就伤害你的智慧。你没有智慧，在那种状况，就变成一个我慢，一个烦恼。 所以他的用意是，你要照样去做，照样去布施，但是布施的同时，你要能够放下这种我给你的那种执着的心态。所以这六种波罗蜜这段话的后面，这个原文里面，菩提达摩又说明说，六度。 这个六种波罗蜜的修行法，是为了什么呢？是为了除妄想。到最后，如果是以智慧来看，没有我，没有众生，也没有给的那个东西，所以呢，我们修行是什么目的？是除妄想啊。这个会不会奇怪啊？ 本来是要为众生服务，要为社会服务，要为所有的人能够解脱开悟啊。但是最后他说，
目的是除妄想，因为希望开悟啊，希望众生好，希望布施，严格来说，如果你执着它的话呢，那就变成一个妄想，就变成你心里的一个负担，就变成我慢，或者是我嗔。所以到最后，这六度是为了在开发你的智慧。 但是也没有你，也没有智慧，到最后全部都要舍。So this fourth practice of correspondence with the Dharma, it's the very positive and engaged practice, which makes this whole set of practices complete. With the first three, you have healthy attitudes towards daily life, and you also have a healthy attitude towards the goal of practice. We practice for the sake of awakening. We practice for the sake of helping sentient beings. But we can't even let that be something caught in our mind. So essentially, in the course of practice, we can't be seeking either. And the final practice is where he very clearly states that the Bodhisattva ideal, that practice is for engaging oneself with sentient beings, bringing benefit to sentient beings, at the same time not thinking that you've done anything or that there are any sentient beings to benefit from what you're doing. And in this way, it's basically reminding us to let our minds be clear and free of anything that we've done, not to always remember how good we've been or what virtue or what merit we've cultivated. 所以这四种修行法，前面两种抱怨行跟随缘行，实际上是一个健康的心态，对我们的生活能够保持一个健康的心态。那第三个无所求行，主要是指我们在修行要开悟的这种目标，也不能执着它。 不能老是在追求开悟、追求解脱，希望烦恼没有。如果是有这样子的追求，也是多了一些烦恼。所以当然有这个目标，但是修行的过程要能够同时放下它。那第四种修行法，称法行，是当我们有前面三种的基础，我们就能够 很积极的去服务社会、服务众生，但在服务的时候，在布施的时候，同时不会把这些所布施的东西，或者是我们布施的行为，一直摆在心里上，那就可以怎么样？在布施的同时知道，没有众生接受我的布施，没有我，也没有布施的这个东西。 那主要是说，心理上能够全部摆开，全部放下。做的时候照样做，那你做完以后，就让你的心保持空掉这些。So this set of four practices are again a complete set of practices. It's quite amazing. Before I had to do this Dharma talk, I had read this thing. I had read this article. I didn't think it was anything special, yeah, accepting karmic retribution, etc. But as I read it closely, and as I read it again and again, I saw how it includes all the fundamental teachings of Dharma, and at the same time, includes the Bodhisattva ideal, the great vehicle ideal, the Bodhisattva spirit. And before these practices, which is what we first mentioned, was the entry through principle, which is essentially not even a practice, but a direct way to realize Dharma, a direct way to realize this mind of liberation. And what is that? Because it's important to reflect on that. We've talked about the four sequential practices, but what is this very direct approach to Buddha Dharma, this direct approach to liberation, to happiness? 那我发现这篇文章啊 菩提达摩的二入四行非常完整，就是一个非常完整的修行的叫做指南。前面有佛法基本的观念，基本的态度，还有呢修行的态度也有，也包括菩萨的精神，大乘佛教的菩萨的精神也在里面，所以呢是非常完整也非常有次第的。那我每一次看完就有一些新的发现，哇，它那么好，那么完整。那除了这四种很完整的修行的次第，前面我们上次讲到前面的叫做理入，有二入，对不对？一个是理入，另外一个是行入。那行入就是指这四种修行的次第，理入呢是一个，不能说它是一个修行法，一个修行的方法，它是一个让你直接能够体会到佛法的一个切入点。那是什么呢？ So the entry through principle, which I just like to bring up last, because it's most direct and it's listed first within his teaching. But we could say that it's the most difficult because of its directness. And the way he describes it is simply that, well, we've heard the teaching that all sentient beings have the same nature. What is this nature? It refers to Buddha nature. We have the nature to awaken, to be liberated from all of our troubles and suffering. If we first have confidence in this nature, then all we need to do is let our mind be like what? Do you remember what he said? If you want to directly experience Buddha Dharma, directly experience this liberation and this Buddha nature, this awakened nature, what do we make our minds like? A wall. Thank you. Make your mind like a wall. And you may first hear that and think, make my mind like a wall. Does that mean when my spouse is talking to me that I just sit there and don't have any reaction? Well, that sounds kind of good. I don't have to have a reaction next time. Sorry, honey, I'm practicing Buddha Dharma. I'm making my mind like a wall. Or if that was your friend or someone in need, or if you need to respond to a situation, can we just sit there and let our mind be unmoving with no reaction? But his intention in saying make your mind like a wall is not that we have no reaction, is that we can think about it like a wall is completely stable, completely unmoving. But like this wall over here, as you can see, we have stuff hanging on it. It still has a function. A wall is a wall, yes, it's unmoving, it's very stable, but you can hang things on it. You can hang very heavy things, like those two things there, that I think they're very heavy. You can also hang very small pictures, you can write on it. And although there's something hanging on the wall isn't affected by it. The wall isn't bothered by it. We could say that essentially, the wall is unmoving and undisturbed. So his meaning is that we should let our minds be undisturbed. Our mind still has a function. We can still respond. When people need us, when people are talking to us, we respond. But we don't let ourselves become disturbed. And how do we do that? Well, it may not be easy, but the essential principle is to just drop everything. Drop all of our discriminations, all of our burdensome thinking. Just let your mind be empty, clear, but still, you're aware of what's happening. If there's a response needed, you respond. And this is the entry through principle. And this is the most direct way to realize Buddha Dharma. It's also the most difficult. And so, He presents the most direct, the most profound, and at the same time, he presents this sequential order of practices that we can use to work our way towards this ability to have this wall-like mind, a mind which is unmoved by situations, but it has function, it works, it responds. So, you know, Bodhidharma讲, 理入就是最直接的一种让我们体会佛法让我们体会到一个解脱的心境解脱的状况没有烦恼的状况一个真正的快乐的境界那怎么做到呢 Bodhidharma说要 让你的心 变成像墙壁一样，我们一听可能会想说墙壁啊，让我的心像一面墙壁啊。那是不是说，当这个太太啊、先生啊，跟我们讲话的时候，就可以不反应吗？这个可以不反应太好了。他们讲一些事情，我不想听，不想反应。好，我用佛法的修行。 好，对不起啊，我的心就像墙壁啊，然后保持不动，不反应。那是他的意思啊，菩提达摩的意思不是这个样子。一个墙壁虽然是不动的，虽然是稳定的，但是呢，它有作用。所以呢，墙壁上像这边可以挂东西，可以画东西，它有作用，它有功能。那就表示说。 这个墙壁的心，像墙壁的一种心，是可以有反应的，可以有作用的。重点是要保持不动的、不动摇、不受影响的一个心态，才叫做心如墙壁。那这种修行法，这种切入点是最高、最妙的，但是呢，也可以说是最难做到的。 所以菩提达摩在这篇文章里面，先讲到最高的、最直接的，再讲到怎么样透过次第的方法去让我们更接近，更能够让我们的心如这种墙壁一样，那么有虽然有反应，但是呢没有烦恼。So, we'll finish here. And I was very happy to share this article with everyone, this teaching with everyone. I hope it was beneficial. I hope you can bring this practice into your daily life. And as for the story of what happens next with this saga of the rabbit at CMC, you'll have to wait until the next time. We can continue the saga. And 讲菩提达摩二入四行，今天讲完了。 谢谢大家给我这个机会去分享，我得到利益，分享的时候也得到利益，也希望大家也得到一些利益，也能够把这些观念还有方法带到生活里面去运用它。那关于兔子的故事，兔子的这个事情啊，可能要等到下次才知道这个兔子跟 CMC 的法师们的情况怎么样？怎么样用智慧去处理这个兔子的问题？怎么样和平？怎么讲和平共存？谢谢大家。